What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. We have got a girls-only show today. You know, these are my favorite shows, even though, of course, I really love Daryl. But we get to really deep dive into a topic that's near and dear to my heart, closing the wage gap and the gender inequality gap within optometry as a profession. There's a lot of conversations going on about this in the industry right now, but we can never talk about it enough because the gap still exists. And we have two students here with us today that are doing a lot to make that mission a reality. Please welcome to the show. This is Rachel Simpson and Kate Hamm. They are both students at the University of Missouri St. Louis School of Optometry. Thank you guys so much for coming on today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this is really exciting.
So I want to introduce the organization you guys created with the broader listener group here. Tell us a little bit about the United Optometrists Association.
Sure. The UOA, we started a couple years ago when we were first years after we read an article about the wage gap in review of optometry by women in optometry. And we just found it so shocking that a profession that is like majority women, or at least the majority of optometry school students are women, has this persistent wage gap. And so we did some more research into it and we decided to form a club with the main goal of closing the wage gap. But in order to do that, we kind of have to address equality across the spectrum and acknowledge that people with multiple factors of discrimination against them are most likely to be affected by the wage gap. So we want to make sure that optometry is a great profession for optometrists, no matter what they look like, who they love, what they believe, all those factors, and take that into account. So if we can make optometry more equal, then I think we can close the wage gap, and we'll know that we've made optometry more equal if we close the wage gap.
And we can't just like close the wage gap and say, okay, our club's mission is done,
yeah.
Check mark, you know, we can disband. We wanted this as we kind of, like Rachel said, you know, inequalities across the spectrum. So if there's ways to better the workplace environment, better the social environment, better the environment that these optometrists work in and live in and who become who they are after this mission of once we've closed the wage gap, because Rachel and I are dedicated to closing this wage gap, that there are other missions for us to take on so that other people in optometry and us and everybody in general can know that this profession is just as strong as we talk about now. And in the future, it can be even stronger and leading the way for not only vision care, but also social equality as well.
I really love the mission and what you guys are trying to do. So last year, Review Optometry, I mean, every year they put out these great articles about salary differences and talking about the wage gap. And most recently, it was reported at 18%, which is down quite a bit from previous recordings, thank goodness. So they were talking about, well, we've got some forward momentum. So your organization, of course, is within the optometry schools. What are some of the things that you guys talk about and how to make this mission of closing the gap happen?
So we're really standing on the shoulders of other professions that have been successful at closing the wage gap. And some of the tactics that they use focus on what employers can do in addition to what employees can do. So what can employees do? Know your own worth, make sure you negotiate for your salary, be as informed as you can when you go into an interview. What can an employer do? They could maybe not ask what your previous salary was. So if maybe you didn't negotiate last time, you can start fresh and negotiate this time. They can maybe not allow negotiation. But one of the major things is allowing for men, women, and non-binary people to all take their paid leave. Because so many of the things that come up in life, women take the time off work to deal with. And that is wonderful that they're able to do that, but we want them to be able to do that and not be penalized in their professional life. So we want it to be possible optometrists to substitute for each other more seamlessly. And if everyone's taking their paid leave, then it doesn't just look like women are making less money because they take time off, because they have to. Like, you can't not take time off for these things. So if everyone's taking time off, that helps. And if we can substitute for each other so our businesses don't falter when we do take time off, that also helps.
There's a lot of really great options for everybody to become more equal when we look at how our families are structured, about how our workplace is structured. So like Rachel was saying, looking at ways for us to be great employees, being great employers, and being great, like, coworkers as well as just colleagues within the profession of optometry, that's going to be able to what closes the wage gap. It's not some magic wand of this is exactly how everything is going to work. It's becoming our best selves. It's going to close the wage gap. It's not going to be just an overarching stamp of this is how things are now. It's becoming those people. And that's why I think there's been that decrease in the wage gap. But still 18% is large enough that it's going to take us a long ways to get there. That's not something that we can wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, that'll be a breeze. Even 1% is going to be hard to manage because people are going to say, well, what's the difference? Just like here, people are saying 18%. What's the difference? Why are people getting upset over 18% difference? You know, until it's equal, I think that's where we're going to keep pushing forward. And this momentum that we do have right now, it has become a commonplace thing to talk about. So I think that, like you said, it's really great that we have this momentum and just being able to push this forward.
Yeah, well, I think we all know, I mean, just even a $10,000 difference in salary over the course of your entire career is a huge amount of money difference in what you'd have in retirement savings. And our profession is a little bit different. Of course, we do have corporate job options as well, but many of optometrists are employed or working in small business with a private owner. And that's why it is so difficult to overcome these challenges because there's so many different people and their perspectives skewing the numbers in the pot. I think one of the great things that you guys were looking at is how do we train or help influence employers to be more aware of biases that they might not be aware that they have. So things like asking, well, what was your previous salary? I have heard that so many times from so many different friends looking at jobs. It's a very, very common question that optometrists get asked. And so I don't think anyone even realizes that that would set kind of innate bias because of course that skews what your initial job offer is going to be kind of given. So I wonder if there's any way that you know, we can reach in general more employers, like what would be fair discussion as a kind of starting point, things that you should do, things that you shouldn't do in the initial job negotiation. Have you had a lot of older optometrists that are usually the ones in the situation hiring interested in learning to be better on their side of things?
Well, we're kind of in the process of that. The interaction that we've had with established optometrists so far since we're in optometry school has mostly been with our professors, and they've all been like really on board, but we would like to get more feedback because that's how we grow. We need more information to learn. This year, one of the things we're going to try and do is have an ethical employer speaker series, and that's going to be for the students at UMSL so that when we graduate, we can be good employers. But it's kind of really a pilot program so that we know which topics will really move the conversation forward. And maybe if it goes well, we could present it on other campuses, or we could invite local optometrists to come to the speaker series. Right now, we're just kind of trying to see what works, but we're open to suggestions.
I know really where most of these conversations start, and in writing about this topic on Idolatry blog, I know this is where I started. Oftentimes when we're on the other side of it, we're the employee doc and we're trying to close the gap or get better wages for ourselves. We always look first at our personal negotiation strategies. And I know that you had worked with Dr. Mark Phoebus, who's a big friend of the pod here, on negotiating strategies when talking with your student groups. So how did that conversation go? What kind of takeaways did you get from that?
We had a really, really successful event with this. We weren't sure of how it was all going to turn out, and we had a huge turnout. We had students that were in first years. We had students that were third and fourth years. So it was really awesome. Students were really concerned about, like, how do we even create a conversation like this? Like, how do I even, like, bring up that I want to negotiate? And how do I look into these contracts? And I think that was Dr. Phoebus was just so awesome about being able just to calm our fears of saying, you know, you are your best self. So just really knowing what is out there and knowing your worth, as well as being able to be competent enough in like your business speak. So sometimes we, you know, say, oh, I don't know the business side, so I don't want to know. He talked a lot about, you know, doing your research and knowing the business and knowing what other people have been offered. That's going, and having enough of that knowledge is going to really be helpful for you. It was a really great event for us. And I think we had an incredible turnout and has started the conversation of students asking about contracts, asking about corporate employers come in, just because that's the people we're exposed to most, of asking them questions about their practices, their wages, and everything in between.
And another thing, he offered himself kind of as a resource going forward. I mean, I know the business, but I'm definitely going to use him when I graduate. I'm going to call him. Like, he has our back. So that was great.
You know, I saw one of the things that you guys had written online on the website calling for if anyone would please donate contracts. Of course, you can redact any personal information, but seeing contracts and seeing what's normal is so helpful in understanding how to negotiate your own. Because every employer is going to tell you, oh, this is standard, you know, standard practice. And who are we to know any different if we've only ever seen one or two contracts ever? So that is such a great idea. I wish I had seen a lot more contracts so that I'd been more familiar with the language of it when I was first starting to look.
You know, one of the things when I was driving over here, Kate, I actually thought of this. If current optometrists are interested in helping us, but they're not comfortable sharing their personal documents, we totally get that. Mm-hmm. But it would be great if they would go on to unitedopt.org, UNITEDOPT.org, and just send us a message. My first job out of school, I worked for a corporate optometry practice in the state of blank. My salary was this. My benefits were that. I negotiated yes or no, and that's all you have to tell us. Like, you don't even have to tell us the company you work for or if you were in a private... Well, it would be good if you told us if you were in a private practice.
It would be really helpful also because private practices, I think people are going to start private practices, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, all right, I looked up this contract online from blank to blank, you know, legal resource, and so here's this. I think it's not only going to help us close the wage gap as, you know, employees, but as an employer, we're going to also know what's there. Because we have students like everywhere that are going to go into their family's practices mm-hmm. or already know that they have a practice that they're going to step into after they graduate. And so they might have a different kind of contract and legal, you know, thing that's kind of worked out for them, but they're going to be hiring on people. They're going to be looking for associate doctors. Mm-hmm. So having these contracts, I mean, just like any diseases that we learn about in class or anything, like when we have actual experience with it, you know, that's going to stick with you and you're going to remember it for a longer time. Being a contract beforehand, like you said, it is so darn helpful knowing what you're going into and not feeling frightened and scared when the words are just not what we're used to. Because, I mean, we could talk about retinitis pigmentosa for hours, but bring up with me like medical and dental and 401ks, and I'm a little bit more lost.
I'm not sure what's going to happen with those.
Yeah. So having those contracts and just really being able to know what people experience is going to help so many more people in the long run.
And it would also help us know, does negotiation really do as much as we think it does? Like, did you negotiate? Did it help? And how much? And then we can compare those to the values of people who didn't negotiate, but also got a salary that they were happy with. And then we can just compare. And that would be data that would be valuable to everyone. We just need the info.
Such a good point. After we finish recording, I'm going to go on and submit my stuff for you guys so that you can start forming a database. So I want to congratulate you guys because I know one of the really big accomplishments you've had in the very early onset of your organization was that you were one top honors. Walmart Project Foresight was running a competition, how to bring millennial optometrists into the Walmart community, and you won that grand prize. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was super cool to be able to talk with a major corporation. Walmart has a huge stamp on not only the public community, but also the private sector. Because if Walmart starts doing something, private sector kind of jumps onto that as well as how they publicly form themselves to our communities. Mm-hmm. So it was really awesome for us to be able to kind of play this idea out of being able to kind of have traveling optometrists that fill in for one another so we can take these paid times off, so that we can help our families, that we can have, you know, support mothers that have just had babies or fathers that want to stay home more often. We want to be able to support those around us. We were able to play out this idea on kind of a large scale and see what, you know, what money we could make out of this, because that's where a lot of companies are going to find the most benefit, but as well as what social impact we can have. I think that was the biggest thing that we really felt in this competition is after we have won, the social impact that we've had on our community and on Walmart, just seeing them as a socially conscious leader, mm-hmm. it was, and just like noticing that this would be a really great idea was awesome. And then being able to see other groups such as you guys and groups mm-hmm. across the country really attach on to this being an idea that we can take forever and we can kind of implement this into successful business models mm-hmm. so that, I mean, we can close the wage gap in such a personal, intimate way.
So one of the things that I thought was amazing about the scholarship contest, and I really did think it was amazing, and Walmart handled it so beautifully, and I, you know, I just like, they really won me over. I like love Walmart now because they really listen to us. And our idea didn't come directly from the premise. Like, we kind of forced the conversation into talking about the wage gap, and they listened and they acted like they wanted to do what we said and were receptive. And if we could convince Walmart that they were willing to put in these tactics that would close the wage gap within optometry, oh, who's to say that they wouldn't do that for their cashiers as well, and other, and their managers and their truck drivers. And it just, like, if Walmart were to implement the things that we've suggested and they work, I would feel amazing about that.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
That would be really awesome.
Oh, I mean, that's very exciting. And I think for a lot of us coming out, you know, we tend to always group corporate optometry into this negative persona, like, oh, those are the things that are ruining our profession, that is ruining our workplace and driving so much of this issue that we're having within optometry with pay wage things. To see corporate being a leader on this, it would really kind of flip the script on what typically optometrists think of as like the bad word in the room as far as pay and work-life benefits and things like that. So really exciting that a big group is interested in looking at this topic so closely.
I mean, it was really astonishing to us. We went in.
We didn't know how they were going to be.
Yeah. We were kind of nervous. We're like, okay, are we going to have to convince them that there is a wage gap?
Exactly.
Are we going to have to convince them that this is an issue? And are we going to have to convince them that they should do something about it? And we had a video presentation that we showed them. And immediately afterwards, they were like, okay, well, we want to do something about this. And like started brainstorming ideas. I think that was the most beautiful thing out of the competition is these professionals that work for Walmart, they wanted to brainstorm the idea and make it bigger.
They made it better in the room.
Yeah.
They had huge suggestions.
It was so cool. And being able to also, us as students, we can see from outsiders looking in of, okay, well, this is what seems like it'll work. And then they came up with huge ideas.
Yeah.
Like, of just ways to be able to make this idea something super plausible.
And more generous than we even thought, which is another example of like us undervaluing ourselves and asking for less than we deserve, because they know how much money they're willing to spend on an optometrist. And it's more than we think.
Yeah.
It's more than we think.
It was something that was huge for us. I think just not only as incoming movers and shakers, and just like people that want to change the way the world works, but as well as future professionals, they gave us a springboard of our ideas. Like, I can't even tell you how just like people asking, oh, congrats, we heard about this. Tell us about your idea. And I mean, people outside of optometry are excited about it. We have people inside of optometry. We have our university excited about it. It's really given us a springboard platform for us to be able to make a difference.
And another thing that it did is it kind of changed my mind on corporate optometry. And I think that may be the whole purpose of the scholarship contest. But like, it really did make me think, if I have big ideas, I mean, we all have big ideas, but if I think my ideas are valuable enough that I want to get them in front of the largest audience I can, corporate optometry may be the place to do that.
So was there kind of a promise of continued dialogue, or is now that the competition's over, the scholarship's done, do you plan on hearing from them again?
So we definitely, after the competition, we came back and we had like 3 tests the week afterwards.
Yeah,
our life got, so we just started kind of had the just like benefits of after winning that scholarship of being able to talk to people and do further you know, just like sharing our idea and talking about what the world was going to look like after this. And with that, we do have a really great mentor within optometry in Walmart, and he has just really been an awesome resource for us. And so our next step is after finals is us getting together with them and just kind of seeing what our next step is. The beautiful thing about this competition is that this idea still gets to be ours, and we still get to manage it and kind of work through it. They've made sure that we get to you know, like, be a part of the process if this is something that they want to do. So that's been really cool for us to be a part of that.
And if it doesn't, I don't know, we don't know whether Walmart's going to actually do this or not, but what this scholarship contest has done for us is it's made us put our ideas into a 10-minute video so that that's shareable. That's like easy way to get the message out there of what steps could be taken to close the wage gap.
I mean, things are really just starting for you guys with this organization. I know you've got, of course, your chapter at your school, and then you have made resources available. So if students at other schools want to start their own chapter of the organization, they can do that too. Do you have any information to share as far as those numbers?
So we actually were able to reach out through AOSA.
Kate's a big wig.
I'm not a big wig. I serve as trustee for our school. So it's kind of nice that I have, you know, contacts with all these other schools. So we've been able to send out through kind of like that trust. Well, I guess we both just have a lot of friends from a lot of schools. And I wouldn't say it's like through AOSA, but it's just like kind of our method of we reached out to trust SDs from each school and kind of gave them an opportunity to see what this is and see if they have people in their school that would be interested and willing to kind of make a difference with this. So we've had really positive responses from that. People that have a women in optometry kind of club that they want to kind of bring these ideas in and be able to kind of morph these two together of making like a UOA women in optometry conglomerate.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have to start their own chapter. We can just share ideas back and forth with their women in optometry chapter.
Exactly. Yeah. So being able to kind of like influence, you know, their conversations of bringing in a new topic. There's other schools that have kind of a really unique, you know, organizations like this of kind of pushing the edge on the wage gap or inequalities in optometry in different kind of communities. So they have talked about bringing these ideas into there. We've just really kind of fanned out our network to, you know, all the schools and said, hey, this is what's going on. If you have people that are interested and willing, we want to be able to be a part of that. And so that's kind of where we came from.
Yeah. And we just did that. So if I could just speak to your listeners, if you haven't heard about a UOA chapter at your school, contact us and we'll help you get started. Or if you're even pre-optometry, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
And if you're a current optometrist, we would love to hear your ideas. What's going on with you? What are the problems you're facing? What have you done? What has worked? We want to know what you're up to.
Because as much as we know a lot about this profession, we're still students.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had a contract from an organization come across my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had someone work to hire me somewhere. I mean, I've had high school jobs and college jobs and stuff, but it's never been on a full-time scale. So I think all of us are interested about what the future holds. I mean, that's the scariest part. And so the more that we can bring in current optometrists, future optometrists, and those and kind of in the middle in school to be able to make this as a successful and viable option for the future, we want to do that.
That's really exciting. I think it's a great collective for all of us, whether, like you said, student or practicing optometrist, to really partner together on this. And kind of just normalizing the discussion of this conversation.
Exactly.
I think, you know, realizing that negotiation is such an important part of what we do when we look at contracts, like we have to normalize that so it feels more comfortable for us to do. And then again, like we were talking about, even just looking at simple things like vacation days or sick leave or maternity leave, like those are things that can be so incredibly variable across our career. Some companies may have no benefits at all and other companies might have, you know, several months. So we need to get a feel for what's should be normal, what's achievable, what's strivable, so that we can recognize something bad when we see it.
Yes, exactly. I think you've got it right.
Yes, that wasn't helpful. Yeah. I was like, I could say like two words, but it would not be helpful.
So, yeah.
No, I mean, it's just so great to hear our mission, just like other people grasp onto that and really, you know, just like if you said, like you've gotten to make how you said those words, you've really taken how we feel and gotten to say it in a different way. So more people connect with it. That's just the beauty of what we want to do with this all is if we can get just the message out there, conversations about this is going to be what's going to change the world and make that difference.
And we've learned so much from Idolatry Blog too. We are open to learning from anyone. We don't have a monopoly on these ideas. We know other people are working on this. Other people care about it. We want to know what they think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, right? And what's so great about our generation is we do feel more comfortable sharing our stories. We do it every day on social media, right? So we all think we have an experience and something to give that's of value. And that's so true. So the more of us sharing our personal experiences and talking about it, we're creating this, you know, collective library of information that the next generation of optometrists or even, you know, 1 or 2 years behind us in school can then, of course, use to better improve their career. So everybody needs to be putting themselves out there on this topic is my personal feeling. I'm right with you. Thank you guys so much for all the work that you're doing so soon into your careers. It's really energizing and exciting to see how much passion you have already. And I know that with people like you leading the charge, we're going to see a lot of improvements within our profession as far as equality goes across the board, whether it's on pay or benefits or just quality of life within optometry. So it's extremely exciting. Tell us one more time, how do we get involved? Go to the website or is there a contact email? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
I'll tell you all of our contacts. So you can go to the website. It's unitedopt.org, UNITEDOPT.org, or you can contact us by email. It's UOA.UMSL@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook. It's United Optometrists
Association. And we are working hard to find really unique articles and great ways to communicate out our message and idea. So following us on there, you're going to get that latest info.
Yeah. And even if you just see me and Kate around, we'll talk to you about it.
I was like, literally, if you just show up at UMSL and say we want to meet with some UOA peeps, we'll come out.
We will come out.
Thank you guys so much for your time. And we can't wait to see what you do next. So we'll be avidly watching. Thank you again.
Thanks so much. This has been great.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.